Hello, I'm Andrew Corbett, and welcome to the coaching audio for the Different Bible Study Series, which is an examination of Paul's epistle to the Colossians. And we have already introduced and seen that the background to this epistle is that Paul was trying to counter and respond to a Gnostic teaching. And that word Gnostic, as I mentioned in the first audio, has a silent G in front of it. So if we were to pronounce the G, we would be saying Gnostic. And in Greek, the word gnosis means knowledge. So these are people who claim special knowledge. Its roots lie in Greek mythology, where it's believed that Zeus used titans who contained some kind of evil and mixed them with, I think it was Dionysius, who had some kind of good and created human beings. And so there's this idea that human beings are fundamentally corrupted by that evil origin. That's not the biblical narrative, but the Gnostics sort of developed and emerged out of that false idea. And so Paul is countering that with his epistle to the Colossians. And you'll see that I also mentioned that Paul wrote this at the same time that he wrote to the Ephesians. And they both bear striking similarities. Both epistles talk about the church, but Ephesians talks about the body of Christ, and Colossians talks about the head of the body, that is, Christ himself. So these epistles will have the same structure. They both end up talking about family, because when you're going to talk about church, you have to talk about family as well, because strong families make a strong church. A strong church helps to make a strong family as well. This is study number two, and as I always recommend, you start with some kind of refreshment to just let people ease in, whether it be a tea or coffee or cold drink or something like that. And then as you move into the environment where you're going to be studying the study, this is study number two, then I suggest you go around the room with either an icebreaker question or very simply ask two questions. Number one, what are you thankful for? And number two, what would you like prayer for? As group leader, I suggest you write down the answers. Just make a note of what people are thankful for and what people would like prayer for. And at the end of the night or the end of the day or whenever your group is meeting, you're going to remind the group, these are the prayer requests that we have each contributed to, and go around the room and pray for these particular prayer requests. Study number two is based on Colossians chapter 1, verses 13 to 14, and verses 21 to 23. Now, this passage of scripture says, he has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. And you, who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. If indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, became a minister. So there's a couple of really interesting concepts here. They're actually really big deal concepts as well. So this title of this study is called Why You Are Now Different. I would encourage you to invite someone in the group to read the first paragraph, which says this. The false teachers attempting to draw the Colossian believers away from the gospel were teaching their own gospel based on a host of pseudo-spiritual rules. But genuine Christianity is genuine Christianity because it involves a genuine miracle of conversion. Question one, now again, invite someone to read the question and the particular Bible reference, which happens to be Colossians 1:13, which says, he has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. How does Paul describe the transformation that a person undergoes when they become a Christian? And we see in that verse, it's described as coming out of darkness and coming into the kingdom of his beloved Son. So it essentially is described as coming out of a kingdom of darkness and coming into a kingdom of light. In other words, it's not gee, I wonder if it's happened. It's such a dramatic change. Now, it may take place over a period of time, but there is no doubt when you're in the kingdom of light, you're in. There's a real sense of stark contrast. Question two, again, invite someone to read this and the scripture reference. How does Colossians 1:14 reveal what Christ did for those who are saved, and what do all believers now enjoy because of it? So Colossians 1:14 says this, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. So what does that reveal? It reveals that Christ has redeemed us. He's redeemed us. And that's what is a major part of being saved. And what do we enjoy now? Because of that, we have our sins forgiven. And as we will see in a moment, that's not all it means. So question three, again, invite someone to read this. If you were called to the deathbed of a dying believer and found that they were wondering whether they had done enough to be saved, how might you use Colossians 1:14 to reassure them? And what other scripture verses could you share with them? So again, Colossians 1:14, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. And in fact, it's in whom we have redemption. In other words, it's all about Christ. It's not about what you've done. Christ has done it, and he has freely given you the gift of the forgiveness of sins. Now, what other references could you use? Well, you could use Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace you are saved through faith. This is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. We could also use Galatians 2:20. The faith I now live by, I no longer live by my own faith. I live now by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So you've got these other references, Colossians 2:8-9 and Galatians 2:20, which also add to this beautifully reassuring message that we are saved by grace. Invite someone to read the bottom paragraph. There are two words to fill in here. So let's have a look at these. There is a difference between what enables a person to be saved, that is, a believer's faith in Christ's finished work on the cross, and what results when a person is saved, their obedience to God's word. It is the difference between, now here's the word starts with F, fruit and root. The point there is that works is not the root of our salvation. Faith is. Fruit is the result of our salvation, and the fruit that results from being saved is works. We will obey God. We will serve God, and we will live a different life for God. Okay. Question four, based on Colossians 1:21, in what way were believers alienated before they were saved? So Colossians 1:21, and you who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds. How were they alienated? Well, they were alienated from the people of God, the family of God, those who were formerly in a covenant with God, which were, up until the new covenant was established, generally the Jewish people. And they were alienated. Jews were alienated. But now, because of what Christ has done, they've been brought near. They've been brought into the kingdom of God. And what does being alienated also look like? Well, it says here that those people who were alienated were people who had a hostile mind. Their minds were hostile to the word of God, the things of God. Salvation, this is the next paragraph, is such a dramatic miracle. It should give us pause before we assume that some nice, unsaved person is close to being saved. Colossians 1:21 draws a link between the condition of a person's mind and their lifestyle. So we saw that the person who was alienated from God also had a hostile mind. This, by the way, shows that salvation bears no real correlation to how intelligent someone is. Sometimes you have to be super intelligent to believe the nonsense that people who reject God end up believing. Question five, how does Paul describe an unsaved person's mind and their related deeds? Well, their deeds, it says in Colossians 1:21, that and you who were once alienated and hostile in mind, so that's how their mind is described, hostile in mind, doing evil deeds. And there is a direct link between what you believe and how you behave, how you live, your lifestyle. So you have a hostile mind toward God. It's going to result in deeds that correspond to your belief system, which, according to Paul, they will generally be evil. Question 6. What did it cost Christ to save sinners according to Colossians 1:22, which says, He has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. What did it cost Christ to save sinners? It cost him his life. He died to redeem sinners. What is then expected of believers? That we would present ourselves to be holy, that is dedicated to God, and blameless and above reproach before him. In other words, no compromise. We're not doing a deal with God. We're fully surrendering to his terms. Someone who has been genuinely saved and transformed by the Holy Spirit will continue steadfastly in their commitment to Christ, never wavering from the gospel of grace. Colossians 1:23 says, If indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, became a minister. So based on that verse, here's the closing exercise. Could you write a prayer for this small group? And perhaps that prayer would include things like, God, please help us to continue in the faith, believing the truth. Help us to be steadfast in our commitment to Christ. Help us not to shift away from the pure gospel. Help us not to be led astray by false teaching. Help us to be a part of proclaiming that message to all creation under heaven. A prayer something like that. Well, I trust this Bible study invokes some discussion, and that's the whole point of it, that you get to have a discussion with those who are in the group. God bless you, and we'll be back in our next audio as we go through study number 3, which is preeminently and supremely different, based on Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 to 20.